breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A disaster in Venezuela. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Two powerful earthquakes a minute apart flattened homes and buildings, killing at least 164 people. Almost 1,000 are injured. More are buried in the rubble, and the U.S. is helping.
We're already deploying search and rescue teams from Fairfax County, Virginia, and Los Angeles.
The Secretary of State Marco Rubio a short time ago.
There'll be some others we'll add. That's their most immediate need right now is search and rescue efforts. They have a bunch of collapsed buildings, and so they'll need a lot of help in terms of digging through that.
And the U.S. will send other assistance.
The twin quakes had magnitudes of 7.2 and 7.5, the strongest to hit Venezuela in more than a century. Damage has been reported in several states. In the capital, Caracas, which was badly hit, power is out for many, and the city's metro system and airport have been closed.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Back to Secretary Rubio. He spoke in Bahrain after meeting with leaders of Gulf countries talking about Iran.
One thing that came across very clear is there is zero support. Zero support among the Gulf countries for any sort of toll or fees or anything that charges for the use of international waters.
This has more oil and other shipping moves through the Strait of Hormuz after the U.S. and Iran signed a deal and continue nuclear talks. And Rubio's hopeful Israel and Lebanon can work out peace versus Hezbollah.
You're not going to have peace and stability in this region as long as there are non-state actors operating within the boundaries and borders of sovereign countries and being funded by Iran.
Well, Hezbollah and Iran are demanding Israel withdraw from Lebanon. A reversal at the Senate. Rejecting a war powers resolution to limit U.S. actions in Iran the day after approving it. Though President Trump calls the resolution meaningless, two Republicans have switched their votes, including Bill Cassidy, after he and the president shouted at each other during a lunch meeting.
And if someone tried to bully me to say, wait a second, because I am whatever I am, I'm going to bully you, I ain't going to put up with it.
The president is also demanding senators approve a voter ID bill that also restricts mail-in balloting as a federal judge blocks a Trump executive order on new voting rules. America's listening to Fox News.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay. Are you suffering from diarrhea, bloating, gas, or oily stools? If so, you may want to ask your doctor if it could actually be a problem with your pancreas, called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI.
My pancreas? How is EPI treated?
A prescription medicine like Creon, pancrelipase, is used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes. Creon is the number one prescribed treatment for EPI.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you are allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Well, ahead of the America 250 celebration, President Trump held a rally last night on the National Mall in Washington to kick off the Great American State Fair, saying we're in a golden age.
We have reclaimed our sovereignty, regained our liberty, restored our prosperity, and we have saved our country.
There is a new Fox News poll on what Americans think of our country now.
Right now, 53% of registered voters say they're proud of the country. A year ago, that number was 58%. When asked to describe what it means to be an American in a word or phrase, 36% chose freedom and liberty, while 15% chose patriotism and national pride. A majority, 54%, say they believe the nation's best days are ahead, an improvement from just 43% who believed that 3 years ago. But signs of pessimism still exist, with 60% saying democracy today is not working very well, if at all. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Almost a year after a flooding disaster, a summer camp in Texas has filed for bankruptcy.
Documents filed in bankruptcy court in Houston reveal Camp Mystic is $10 million in debt with assets up to only $500,000. Last fall, families of the 25 campers and two counselors killed in the July 4th flooding sued for roughly $1 million in damages. They say the camp was unprepared for an emergency. The flooding along the Guadalupe River that day killed more than 130 people, including the owner of Camp Mystic, Richard Eastland. The camp was going to reopen this summer, but canceled plans to do so a couple months ago, saying in a statement that no summer season should move forward with families continuing to grieve and while investigations continue. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Later this hour, we'll get an inflation update, what are called personal consumption expenditures. Ahead of that, on Wall Street, stock futures are rising, surging for the NASDAQ 600 points the day after the NASDAQ dropped 110. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:05 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 73 degrees. It is mostly cloudy at the moment. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a minute. First, John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident on New Warrington Road just south of Twin Oaks Drive, and it's before you get to Chiefs Way. Now, if you're coming southbound on New Warrington, traffic is really starting to back up basically to a crawl. So it's about an 8 to 10 minute delay there. Northbound's not seeing any issues at all. If you, we've got a traffic light out, Campus Drive and North Davis Highway. Again, that traffic light is out. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Well, the donut strike for Manna is in its second day today. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the annual three-day food drive is one of his favorite community events. He says he knows exactly where every donation is going.
The money and the food goes to Manna, and having been on the board, Manna for the board member for Manna, I know that the food stays here local, and that's very important to me.
And nine agencies are participating this year, including the Escambia Sheriff's Office, PPD, Pensacola Fire, Gulf Breeze Police, Gulf Breeze Fire, Escambia Fire Rescue, Midway Fire, Pace Fire Rescue, and the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. First responders today are at the Piggly Wiggly on Wallace Lake Road, six different Publix locations, Sam's Club, and two Walmarts on Mobile Highway and Gulf Breeze Parkway, as well as two Winn-Dixies on Sorrento Road and Highway 90. Well, a new political party is formed in Florida. Orlando attorney John Morgan has named his new political party the Common Ground Party. The movement is for people who feel stuck in the middle and left behind by both Republicans and Democrats. The members will be called Grounders. Morgan says the effort will try to undo the gridlock, hate, and the meanness that has fallen into politics. Governor DeSantis has signed two new laws aimed at reining in local government finances. One bill strengthens safeguards against local property tax increases. The other requires local governments to publish detailed financial information online. Governor DeSantis says Florida has demonstrated fiscal responsibility at the state level and now is protecting taxpayers from excessive local taxes. It is 7:07. We've got 73 degrees with cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 50% chance of that rain overall. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I understand this is concerning, but I know I want you to know that city management is taking this seriously. As I said, you have good news. Your preventative controls, your first line of defense, was intact. Reconciliation process that is incomplete is simply tying those pieces together. We have no reason to believe at this time that the underlying financial data is unreliable.
So that is the voice of Kristen McAllister. She is a CPA and also a certified government financial analyst, manager, I think. CGFM is the thing with Warren Averett. She's been doing the audits in the city of Milton for a long time, and she is the one who is doing the audit in the city of Milton, the one that produced the questions that have led to the, temporary on leave pending process of the CFO, Curtis Krebs, and, a lot of drama in the last meeting. Meanwhile, Ed Spears had told everybody that there's a process, we're working through it, we only just learned about this stuff, it's not that big of a deal, we don't have any reason to believe that there's been any fraud, as she said, we don't have any reason to believe there's any problem, no lost money, it's just a question of a verification mechanism that is important, but not that important in the grand scheme of things. And she spent, and then he got, they asked him to, Mike Cusack and a couple of members of the public implied that, this is your job, and maybe you shouldn't have this job, and maybe you should, step away, and maybe you should, all the crazy things. So he said, it's not that big of a deal, we're working on it. The answer was, off with his head, from at least Mike Cusack and a couple of others. So Kristen McAllister is saying basically almost verbatim the same things that he said last time around. So what will Mike Cusack do? The noted chair of the finance committee, for reasons that still pass my understanding. Remember, he had gotten moved off of that because of the ethics issue and because of the fine and because of the sunshine violations and things. And then, comes back around and they put Casey Powell on there. And then when the new board got in that was all friendly to the Pitchfork Posse, they restored him to this position. So now he's going to ask Kristen McAllister for, why did you wait so long to tell us?
I'm trying to figure out a timeline here. If you said the last time there was any kind of, when it was done correctly, was in October of 2024. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I'm trying to figure out why it took till April of this year to notify the city manager and city staff. Why did it take so long for you to find that problem?
We began the audit in January, and we requested the information and were not provided any information in regards to the bank reconciliations. So when we asked, we weren't provided the information.
So who did you ask for?
The CFO.
And he failed to provide that information. Is that correct?
Correct. He said they would be forthcoming.
One of the last problems or times it was actually done right, I think, was October of 2025, I want to say. And his premise was, you didn't tell us about it until April. Well, we just started, you wouldn't know if you hadn't done an audit. We just started the audit in January. We were asking him for the information, and, he was giving us a lot of information. He wasn't giving us this thing, and so we'd been working on it.
You, at that point, decide, is there some reason you didn't ask the city manager that? Did you tell the city manager there's a problem not getting the information from the CFO?
We did after working with the CFO, but in general, it's normal for us to use the CFO as the point of contact for the city. But at the point that we continued delays, we did bring those to the attention of the city manager.
But when you discovered it in January, you waited 4 months to notify the city manager there was a problem. That's not true, or I'm trying to get the timeline.
Can I get an, oh my God, what's wrong with you from the audience? Why did you wait 4 months? Why didn't you come to my house personally that night and tell me? Because there's a process, because they've done this with this person a long time, and it didn't rise to the level of that sort of urgency. But when we asked and we didn't get answers real fast, we finally brought it to the city manager, and he brought it to you. Settle down, sir. Sit down, sir. So, okay, then, well, here goes.
Is it true that there were some things that
were... Talking for him?
You're out of order, ma'am.
So Heather Lindsay steps in because Mike Cusack is about to eat his foot again, and she doesn't want to let him because they're aligned. And in the audience, Cassie Powell, the wife of Casey Powell, the city councilman, is like, why are you talking for him? Let him talk. As in, let him keep doing the dumb things he's going to do, I think, I'm interpreting.
I think, is it true that there were some things that were...
Why are you talking for him?
You're out of order, ma'am. I am trying to help this conversation. I really don't appreciate the disrespect.
Aw.
Ms. McAllister, you've been our auditor for many years, and you've always done great work. So I'm wondering if it's fair to say that you were receiving some of the things that you needed over a period of months?
Correct. We were. We were receiving other information. It wasn't fully complete. The bank reconciliations were one item that were on our request list that we worked through and continued to follow up with him over months between January and April. And at that point in time, we engaged with the city manager to make sure he was aware that we were experiencing these delays. As in April, I brought it to the concern because I was concerned in April about making the June 30th deadline to ensure that the financials were filed timely.
So even at that point, there wasn't a catastrophe or a crisis or a dumpster fire or anything really that pressing, except that there's a June 30th filing deadline for the audit, and she was worried that given that it was April, late April, they wouldn't get the data back in time in order to file the audit properly, and that can have consequences like state matching funds and whatever won't come down. So that's why she went to Ed, you know, and told him what was going on, and that's when he told the council, and that's when he told all of us in the public meeting. Ashley Fretwell asked the question, well, are we facing any penalties? And her answer is...
There's not a monetary fine, but the state does have the ability, as the mayor was indicating, to withhold state revenues and sharing funds in those items. So there is a penalty at that point. But I, like I said, I would work with city management to work with the state so that they're aware. It's more of on the back end, if they're not aware and understanding what's happening, what you're working through.
So just trying to make sure that the state knows what's going on, and she's willing to kind of, not broker exactly, but to explain to them that the city's not screwing anything up. There's no big concern here. They're just going to run late on this deadline, and, you know, please don't be mean to them too much. We'll come back to this in a second. John, what I always promise.
Oh, there's more.
If you wait, there's a payoff.
Oh, yes.
It's not just the intrigue over the non-story that has been... I mean, it's not that it's a nothing, but... In a one, like a 10 is an immediate catastrophe, and a 0 is everything is totally fine. John, this is what, a 2? A 1?
If that. I mean, we're pushing it.
So the reactions last time were completely out of proportion. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still working that accident that happened on New Warrington Road going southbound. Traffic is starting to crawl just a little bit. We're starting to see less of the delays. It's between Twin Oaks Drive and before you get to Chiefs Way. Now, if you're headed northbound, I'm not seeing any delays there. Also still dealing with the traffic light out at Campus Drive and North Davis Highway. But other than that, looks like I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the 5.
Oh, I did just get a note in from Bill Reynolds from northofscambi.com. He's there at the Costco. He showed me a picture of there's plenty of parking available. I would say at the moment, we're still 43 minutes away. But, you know, we'll see. Somebody else says, if I was a betting man, I would say there's going to be, I would bet $100 there will be a parking lot on 9 Mile Road soon. We'll see. I mean, I hope not. I hope everybody's fine. But, you know, time will tell. Okay, so back to the city of Milton, Melodrama Theater. Heather Lindsay is asking Krista McAllister, the person who's doing the audit.
In past years, was the CFO cooperative with your requests?
Yes, he has always been cooperative.
Yeah.
Was this year unusual?
Yes, this year was unusual as far as information so far.
Did you expect him to get you what you needed to provide a timely audit until late April?
We normally expect that from him every or from that role every year. Yes.
Yeah, so this was an unusual year for all of this. Then Mike Cusack, so are we going to lose money? Which she kind of already answered, but never let that stop him asking again.
Ed, maybe you can answer this question. Ms. McAllister stated that the delay of submitting the audit to the state could result in them withholding funds to the city. Is that true, or is that a possibility?
I believe so, yes. Yes, sir.
How much are we talking about monthly? Do you have any idea? I mean, I'm trying to find out what the financial impact for not us receiving funds. Right? Do we know that?
Well, Probably not
specifically.
So I understand you didn't know this was coming. So I understand that. So every month the delay in submitting the audit to the state has a financial impact to the city, correct?
It would.
Could.
But we don't have any idea how much. Maybe that can be provided to us.
I could pull the information.
Yeah, yes, I'm just, absolutely. The people need to know, what's the financial impact to the city is not being able to have funds because of the audit delay.
Absolutely.
So
possibly
completing the audit is time critical, as
we all know.
I think
that.
We're all aware of that, correct?
I agree.
So, but right now you have no time frame of how long that'll take, though, do you? Like 60 days or?
City staff is working through the reconciliations. That's one of our largest items that we're still waiting through.
Thank you for kindergartening it up for us. We appreciate that. Robert Leak.
Are we looking at doing a forensic audit, or are we taking that recommendation? Because I do have citizens that have, they are strongly suggesting that just to get a clean slate.
I'd support that 100%, Councilman, and if it's the will of this body, we will get you price quotes for that service.
Even though the auditor said you probably don't need it, at least not yet.
I'm guessing that the threshold will probably be we'll have to do invitation to bid or some type of competitive.
It's going to cost money. As in, you're going to have to do a forensic audit that's going to cost you a lot of money when you haven't actually lost any money over the thing that you're paying for a forensic audit to investigate, right? Just...
I think it would put the citizens' mind at ease. Yeah,
I agree with Robert. I think we should look into doing that as well.
We will put that solicitation together.
Well, if Mike Cusack, the finance guru, says do it, then do it. And here's going to be my favorite part. Cassie Powell, the wife of Casey Powell, who's on the council. Cassie's going to get up and talk for a second. And Cassie's the one who yelled out from the audience. I love Cassie because she's so forthright. I don't always agree with her. I know she sometimes should bite her tongue, but here goes.
So I wasn't able to come to the last meeting, unfortunately, but I did watch it. And what I saw was a little bit appalling. Some of it was the public, most of which do not reside in the city limits.
Ouch.
Inferring that the city manager be terminated, reminded you of that, I believe. And I guess my question is, how come no one stopped that? Especially another council member who is in charge of the finance committee. No one asked him that many questions, and he's the one over that committee. It's very confusing to me.
The guy, Mike Cusack, the guy who theoretically could have found any of this himself. He's saying that the city manager was responsible for all this, or kind of implying, and then saying he should step away or whatever, and you think you can still do your job, all these nonsense things. And why didn't any of the other city council step up to him and say, hey, man, what are you doing?
And the mayor doesn't have any problem stopping me from talking, but when there's other things going on that shouldn't happen, like, I don't know, a city councilman asking your city manager if he should take leave, that's a council voting decision. It's not Mike's decision to have that conversation with the city manager. But no one stopped that. What happened was then everybody went around and talked about if they agreed or they didn't agree. But no one stopped the attacks. I noticed no one did that tonight with our auditor, who said the exact same things that Ed explained. That he was persecuted for it. Not in the same way.
That's exactly right.
I think a lot of the problem is your public and you are not familiar with how audits or finance works.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
Mostly your finance guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like to know what Mike Cusack's qualifications are for being in charge of the finance committee.
As you may know, this is not a question and answer session, so thank you for your input.
I'm sure it's not. Okay, Casey, how many audits and things have you been involved in as far as finance?
Now, this is kind of an odd moment, because that's her husband she's asking.
Depends on what company you're speaking with.
But his job is actually in this arena. He does audits. He's the guy they put on to replace Mike Cusack, and then they took him off because they thought Mike Cusack was a more expert guy. And Casey actually does audits. So Jimmy Messick, a Pitchfork Posse aligned member of the public, Teresa Messick's husband.
Mr. Cusack may not be a financial
or any other kind of
guru, but I guarantee you there's not another one of you sitting up there that has the expertise to be that, to oversee the finances.
Oh, except Sherry Sebastio, former city council member, is going to remind him of what he clearly does not know.
One of the citizens just said that we don't have anybody on this council that could do the job that Mr. Cusack has been appointed to do. I hate to differ with you, but you have a gentleman on your council that's what he does for a living.
Casey Powell.
I was very disappointed when they took and put Cusack and took Casey Powell off of finance when we all know that that's what he does for a living. So I think maybe you should look around at who you've got in your appointed seats for what they're doing. I feel like the majority of you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you've been given these positions and things to do. But I do feel like you've got somebody in the wrong position, and y'all should think about it.
So, John, should we just leave it there? Is that good for the moment? We're done for now? appreciate is it's not just on me to say this stuff. There's people showing up at the city council meeting to make the points and to stand there and bring up the obvious facts that they are forgetting. And City of Milton, Melodrama Theater goes on. Wow. It's
wow.
You want to add anything, John? We're good. It's amazing, right?
It's just amazing.
I love the part about how, well, clearly a bunch of you just don't even understand how audits work. That's why you're getting this so wrong and jumping to all the wrong conclusions. And if you would just listen to, I don't know, the CPA and the certified government financial manager and also your city manager that you've hired, I mean...
Somebody that does this for a living, that's how they make their money. Can we
The finance... John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Maybe we need to slow it down for
They actually had another guy. I didn't cut the audio. They had another guy on the audience. He's like, I've done audits for my whole life, and, you know, you wouldn't know about this, and this is why they're right. And he just basically stood up. And they actually was like, would you come work for us? He's like, no, thanks.
No, thank you.
John Pickens has traffic.
All right, let's see here. No longer dealing with the accident on New Warrington Road, but still dealing with the traffic light out at Campus Drive and North Davis Highway. And also, let's see, if you're on I-10 westbound, just west of the Highway 29 exit there, we're seeing just some minor delays in that area through that construction zone. Highway 90 is looking good. Avalon Boulevard southbound approaching I-10 is seeing just a minor delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We got a good note. Somebody just said, it's a really sweet note. This morning show is so good. Camaraderie, breaking down complicated issues, truth, comedy, et cetera. News programs are often so disappointing these days. Thank you.
Aw. Wow, and that's the first time they've ever texted.
Yeah, yes, and that I love that.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The Bible is truly the most amazing book ever written. Its words are not just inspirational, but are inspired by God. It's the only book that is completely error-free from cover to cover. The 66 books, the 1,189 chapters, are a love letter from God to you. The single storyline of redemption was penned by 40 different human authors, each one guided by the divine Holy Spirit. Joshua 1:8 encourages us to meditate on the Word of God day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to take time today to read your Bible.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
20 presents the history of the Blue Angels. Every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 through the 17th of July. This special broadcast is sponsored by the Dan Stewart Law Firm and Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze. It's the history of the Blue Angels. Every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15. Right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bad boys, what you want, what you want, what you gonna do when Chevy John don't come for you?
All right, howdy. Now, I'm going to be a little bit meaner than them, so please don't violate my rights. Normally, I wouldn't come to a city council meeting. I'm one of the county's pains in the ass. Historically, I stay out of the city, and the city stays out of my business. It was a pretty decent arrangement. But then y'all sent me one of these tickets from one of your AI red light cameras you have deemed as necessary infrastructure in your city. Thing about this is I was in Seminole, Alabama at the time I allegedly ran this red light downtown. How can I be in two places at once, you ask? Don't worry, I asked myself that too. Outside of Scotty beating me up 30 miles in an instant, the only logical conclusion is I wasn't there.
So this is Jacob Rockwell. He spoke, at this point, I would say internet famously, at the Pensacola City Council meeting about these terrible red light cameras and, you know, how AI and surveillance and the Chinese. The premise of his presentation was, I was in Alabama while you're telling me I was running a red light in Pensacola. And I think former City Councilwoman Ann Hill, who's running for mayor against D.C., she and her daughter Teresa, they had posted this on her page, and I think it got like 10 million views. I mean, it's insane. It got picked up by Not the Bee, the Babylon Bee's actual site, you know, and some other places had noticed this around the area. But like any good piece of storytelling, it might be that there are other facts that need to be brought out. So here we have Mike Wood. He is the Pensacola Police Department's public information officer, who was also quoted in that Not the Bee article, by the way. Mike Wood, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
You didn't know that you were an agent of Chinese surveillance in spy state, did you?
I do now. Thank you. Appreciate
okay.
that.
So, Jacob Rockwell says, how can you give me a ticket? I wasn't even in Pensacola. What do we know?
Well, if you're going to tell a story and try to get attention and get your 15 minutes in the limelight, you need to tell the truth because it can come back and bite you. And that's what happened here. So, this individual, what he failed to tell everyone was that he loaned his car to a friend, and the friend did, in fact, run the light, and the offense actually did happen. And this happens often. And when we find out, if they fill out the affidavit on who was driving that vehicle, then the citation gets sent to them. Now, this is similar to who gets a parking ticket if a vehicle is parked in front of a fire hydrant or any other parking violation. The issuer of the citation did not see who parked the car, but the citation was made out to the registered owner. And according to Florida State Statute 316.0083, which is the Mark Wendell Traffic Safety Act that was enacted in 2010 after Mr. Wendell was involved in a fatal red light crash in Sarasota, the act says the registered owner of the vehicle, as the registered owner of the vehicle, you are deemed responsible for the violation and the payment unless they submit the affidavit identifying the actual driver.
So the law says that you're responsible for the misuse of your car if you loan it to somebody else, And it wasn't that he wasn't in Pensacola, which might be true, but the implication that nor was his car is false. The car itself was. I've seen the video. Channel 3 did a pretty good report on this as well. And the car did run the red light. The question then is, when you get the ticket as the owner, what do you do? And right there on the citation, it's got a place for you to say, I wasn't driving it, here's who was, right?
And that's all you have to do. And it's important to know that this is not going to, this is a civil citation. It's not going to affect your driving history or anything like that. So, you know, it's $158. And, you know, a lot of people were complaining that a police officer actually needs to do this so they can see who's driving. Well, the problem, and we can do that. The problem with that is the ticket, when a police officer issues it, is double the amount. It's $258.
And as you and I and the mayor and the police chief and the former police chief and the police chief before that, and everybody, we've talked about this so many times, the basic problem we have in Pensacola is that people run red lights a lot, and there is no effective physical officer presence mechanism for making this work. And the cost would be prohibitive, the number of officers you need to task to it, just the issues of being able to prove that they were over the white line when the light was red, and then being able to catch them and all of the... The red light camera actually does this very effectively, very efficiently, and has issued a lot of, as you say, non-moving citations that don't go on your license.
Yeah, and I'm one of the officers that reviews these violations, and every violation is reviewed by an officer. So it's not like a police officer, a Pensacola police officer, has nothing to do with this, because they do. We have to approve them, and I'll do about 50 of these a day and throw out 3 or 4, 5, 6 of them for various reasons. I mean, if it's close, if it's something that could go either way, then I'm going to toss it out. But in this particular case, this vehicle was not even in the frame yet when the light turned red. It wasn't even close, and it was obviously that the violation occurred.
So have you talked, have you been in communication at all with Jacob Rockwell? Because he acknowledged as much with Channel 3 that it was, you know, he wasn't here, but the car was. At least that's what I remember. So he's admitted this. He's not denying that somebody else was driving the car. Have you communicated with him? Do we know anything about the process? I mean, what more do we not know?
There's going to be a hearing if he wants to go that route, or they can just, one of them can decide to pay the $158, and it's a dead issue at that point.
Oh, so he's refusing to sign the affidavit identifying the person who was driving the car?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay. But if he did, it would go against him, and if he identifies the person, it would go against the other person. And under the statute that you mentioned a moment ago, Florida law allows for pursuing him for the violation done with his authorization to use the car. Is that the short of it?
Yeah, it is. But when you say go against, it's important to know that it's not going to go against your license or anything like that. It's just a fine. That's all it is.
Okay, so when we talk about the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that whole truth part is kind of important.
It's very important. Facts matter in the business that we're in.
Yeah, and a video can go mega viral and not contain the whole truth, and maybe when it did, it wouldn't be quite as exciting. All right, well, we'll continue in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. That's why I have waited to talk about this, because I wanted to, you know, do good journalism and get to both sides, which Channel 3 also did. So that's how I prefer to approach things. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by ECUA. They're making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app, available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. We're back to rolling accident-free, but not delay-free. If you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, I know that Jacob Rockwell and many others have arguments, constitutional questions, right to confront your accuser, presumption of innocence, and all that, which the courts can certainly handle. But the short version is that the police are there to enforce the law as it actually exists, which is what PPD has done in this case. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. You know, if people could see what we see, the horrendous crashes that are caused by this, the devastation to people and families that's caused by this, I think they might think a little bit differently about it. And, you know, suffice it to say that maybe many of these people that are complaining about it, and I understand the privacy issues and that sort of thing, may not have had a family member involved in something like this, but it's traumatic. It's, you know, traffic crashes are the biggest killer in the city of Pensacola, and when we're in, you know, the city of Pensacola, the police department, we're all trying to do do something about it to make things better, to make our roads safer. And that's what this is about.
You know, and also just as a side note, editorializing, I was thinking, well, what could you do to avoid the problem of not being able to identify the driver? Well, I mean, you could just have a facial recognition software camera at the front side taking pictures of everybody on it. And I would think they would be more offended at that.
let's start that.
Which nobody's interested in doing, and the chief has even said he doesn't like, you know, Chief Winstrom has even said he doesn't like facial recognition software. So, anyway, it's an interesting one politically. You had some issues at Bayview Park with e-bikes?
Yeah, there's some reckless driving going on there. There's some, the people that live in that area that frequent the park have made complaints about the vehicles, the bicycles, if you will, going pretty fast. They're tearing up the grass or causing trails in the park, and so it's become a mess. And now the city has installed signage there, which prohibits any motorized vehicle in the park, and we're hoping that people will abide by those signs. And if not, we'll have to take it another direction. But we're going to educate people first if we see that those are violations going on, and let them know they're not supposed to be in there before we do anything else. You know, education is the key. A lot of people may not realize it. So we want to make sure they do, and if we encounter them a second time, then we may have to go a different direction. Hopefully we won't have to do that.
And even beyond what's going on in the parks and making sure that people don't do that, just worth reminding people that these very fast e-bikes above 750, whatever it is, watts, I think is the number, above a certain speed, these are not bicycles under Florida law. They are actually motor vehicles. They need to be licensed. You need to have a license, and you need to follow all the rules of where you drive those like you're driving it on a road, right?
Yeah, and there's some more coming down, I think, from Tallahassee, some more legislation, and I believe the city council is also looking at some more rules coming down the pike. So we'll have to see what happens there. But something needs to be done. The park needs to be safe for everyone that goes there.
You had a burglary that was a little more interesting than the ordinary. What happened?
This is a burglary in the 400 block of Dittmar, which is a business. It's a warehouse. We were assisted by the sheriff's office canine unit. We do appreciate that. And they located the suspect inside. And when they located him, he didn't have any clothes on. We're not real sure what was going on with that. But he was arrested without injury or further incident.
So breaking and entering and disrobing would be the technical challenge here.
Well, we just have question marks above our heads sometimes when we encounter things like that and wonder what was going on. But it's not our job to completely figure that out, and we're just glad that there was no resisting or anything like that involved.
How certain are you this is not some latest TikTok challenge?
Well, we're not. I mean, we don't want to be the first one to start it, but I can't, you know, we don't know. We hope it's not.
Well, you know, I'll just leave it at that. So anyway, other things. Oh, the bright lights on the camera array that was by Vinyl on Garden and Palafox. What's the deal there? I saw the post. I saw the explanation. What's the story?
Well, they're blue lights. They're just indicating that it belongs to the police department. There's cameras there that's monitoring the intersection for traffic issues or pedestrian issues or just anything else that needs to be looked at in there. It's just identifying who that trailer belongs to and what it's there for.
All right, fair enough. Donut Strike for Mana, was it yesterday started officially?
So yesterday we were at Apple Market on Scenic Highway, and they still have a table there that's set up with all the items on it that we're looking for donations. But today we will be at East Hill Publix, and then Friday we will be at the Walmart on Creighton Road. And this is a great initiative that we're always involved in. We have a lot of fun with it, but it's a very serious issue getting this food together for folks that need it. And we are us and the Pensacola Fire Department, we're glad to be a part of it every year.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Mana. I love that they do this. They've been doing it now for several years. Gosh, I mean, what, 7 or 8 at least, I think, something like that.
Every bit of it.
Have you seen any fellow officers eat a donut?
No. Oh. Well, better not, because if I have to suffer, they got to suffer. I mean, this is torture.
Do you have an internal policy for discipline if a donut and a cop do come together, even inadvertently?
Then that's what's going to happen.
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second. What's going to happen?
You know, we have that policy. If you see something, say something, and that's what's going to happen. We'll say it all right.
Or if they eat something, you say something could be the way to go. All right, very good. Last, we always like to – oh, no, quickly. In California, I think you might have seen the story. I don't know. But they sent a drone in to a barricaded suspect who had a knife and was, I guess, threatening his own life. This drone had a magnet on it, electromagnet, I'm assuming, and it grabbed the knife out of his sleeping hands and rendered him harmless to himself so that they could go in and get him safely. Did you see this? Does PPD have a knife-grabbing drone magnet they can use?
Not at the moment, but I did see it, and that was pretty cool. The guy was asleep. When he's awake, it might be a different situation, but he was asleep, and they handled that perfectly. If you haven't seen the video, go to YouTube and take a look at it. It's very impressive.
Very good. Last thing we always like to do is a cop myth or a did you know. A lot of times in TV and movies or in ordinary conversation, somebody will say, well, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law, meaning that whoever's got the thing is, you know, almost certain to be able to retain possession of the thing. I suspect you have some thoughts about that phrase.
Yeah, I mean, we've made arrests before. Every officer down here can tell you that they find drugs in someone's pants pocket. They say, well, these are not my pants. That happens a lot. I'm plenty familiar with that.
And so if people have an illegal substance, possession can work against them. But if they have a stolen item, it does not do anything particularly for them that they have it in their possession. That doesn't settle the issue of property ownership, right?
Most likely, no.
Very good. What's that?
Most likely, no. But every case is different, you know.
It depends whether you're talking about a stolen laptop or, let's say, a purloined donut. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for putting up with my silliness. I appreciate you keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate that. And can I say one thing?
Yes,
we want to give a shout-out to Alan Turner Hyundai, who just donated a large amount of money to us to purchase a new K9, and we do appreciate that.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's outstanding. Thank you for the heads-up. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon, sir. 7:55, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We are back to rolling accident-free right. Well, nope. That just changed on right on me. East Olive Road and North Davis Highway, we've got an accident there. It's no road blockage. I'm starting to see just minor delays on Davis Highway. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
How's 9 Mile look as we're 4 minutes away from the grand opening of the Pensacola Costco?
Oh, you're doing good so far.
All right, fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody's behaving. Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Lowe's and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets and our communities too by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Parktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with